I am unashamed. What about you?
So, welcome to Unashamed. I'm coming from the Southern Lair, Larry Bowles. That's what I call my little place down here in Alabama. And it's kind of ironic because you're in town. Larry Bowles is in the house. And just to let the our podcast audience know, Larry, you are the first podcast contributor. That's what I'm giving. That's your title that I'm giving you. You are a podcast contributor. Yeah.
Is there going to be like a name
Yeah. We might get you a hat or something. Unashamed podcast contributor.
Yeah, maybe that's
good. I think it's an honor. You came and we just said, right. Come back. All the other guests, we said we appreciate it. Yeah. It's great.
Because everybody else is usually trying to run me off. You know what I mean? And you guys just keep.
I think that's why you found a home here. Yeah. That's kind of the way we are.
The old Wyatt Earp, and when Wyatt Earp decided to leave town after the gunfight, that old guy, he said, "Well, you know, old Wyatt Earp said, we're leaving." And that old guy said, "Well, bye."
Bye.
That's kind of like Bowles. It wasn't
come
a bye.
Back, that's right.
It
was like, he did such a good job. We wanted him back. So Larry, we've expanded our partnership with Larry. And so he's preaching for us periodically at the church. And so when he's in town, we have now combined that he would do a couple of podcasts with us. So welcome, Larry, as an official podcast contributor, our only one so far.
My goodness.
So, and we've talked about it before. If you're new to the podcast, Larry is a tremendous guy, and he and his wife, Kathy, do great work over in Athens, and Jason and Missy have visited their work, and it's tremendous. So we're excited to have him a part of it. So, Jace, so Saturday night, I'm down here in Alabama, and I'm watching the Dodger game, but I flipped over to Fox just to see what my old pal Lawrence Jones, he has a show called Cross Country, and I like him. He's like, because he's like a really good, solid, conservative guy, but he's just got an interesting take on the news. So he's one of my favorite people. And then I look up and here's Jason Jepp on his show. And I had no idea he came to Monroe.
Well, you know, what's funny is you sent me a text saying, "Oh, I didn't know y'all are fixed to be on the Lawrence Jones show." And I thought, cause I had forgotten about it. Cause you filmed these things before. So I was like, "Oh," so I turned it on, and
yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was funny. I mean, I thought you had some good lines in there, and he seemed like he was enjoying it. So the setup, if you didn't see it, if you're in the audience, he's metal detecting with Jace and Murray and Jepp, and kind of cross promoting the show because he has a show, I think, as well on Fox Nation. So that was kind of the setup. But how was he in person? Was it fun?
Yeah. I mean, they showed up when we did those promos for the Duck Family Treasure Show in New York. He was going to be a guest on some other show. And we're, you know, when he walked into the green room, that's not green, he saw us.
Have you ever been in a green room that was green?
I did make that enough. No.
Really?
I actually have.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, this one wasn't. Well, here's what's funny. When we were in the non-green room, the weather lady, what's the weather woman's name on
Janice
Fox?
Janice Dean.
I love this woman.
She's awesome.
She's real personable and was just, we were all talking. So I'm with all these Fox, I guess, contributors, since that's our word for the day. Or yeah. Maybe they just worked here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did mention, I was like, "There's nothing green in here." And they were all looking like, "You know, you're right." I said, "Maybe I can be here and just head up the common sense department." But Lawrence walked in and he's like, "What are y'all doing here?" And so I was telling him about the show and he's like, "Well, will you be on my show?" And I was like, "Sure." So he showed up a couple of weeks later down here and he's like, "Well, I'm here." I was like, "What are you doing down here?" He's like, "Well, you told me you would be on my show," and he goes across the country. So let me tell you how set up that show was. We go out to our bed and breakfast place, and the producers get out. When I pulled up, because I said, "We're going to have to meet early because it's 100 degrees here, you've noticed." Mm-hmm. And we were quite swampy just in a couple of hours. But so the producers, they got out. It's like, "Well, what are we going to do?" I was like, "Well, we're going to go treasure hunting. I mean, we'll teach you how." And so it was kind of like our show. We just walked out there and started meandering around. And Jep happened to find this really cool old piece of jewelry from probably 150 years ago. Right. Had a little gold ring on it. And we had fun. But here's what's interesting. All he could talk about, because after we filmed the show, we went back and we were going to cook shrimp, but he said he was allergic to shrimp. He said he could only eat, I think it was five, without having some crazy reaction. I was like, well, how did you get to that number? Well, he said, I love them so much.
Okay, that's four.
Yeah, he said, when I get to five, I have to either call the doctor, go to the bathroom, whatever. I said, well, that won't work. Yeah. So Missy cooked meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Mm. And so when we brought it out, he was like, is that bacon on top of there? Oh. It's like, oh, yeah.
Can he eat bacon?
Huh? Oh, he can eat bacon. But so what I'm saying is, though, all day before the show aired, they had him on different shows promoting the show that he was going to do. And look, the only thing he wanted to talk about was that meatloaf with the bacon on top of it. Over and over and over again, I was like, babe, I think he really, you stopped the presses with that. Yeah. So, and when it all gets down to it, it's all about the meatloaf and the mashed potatoes. I mean, really.
But it's mostly about the bacon.
It's about the bacon. Yeah, I mean, Mom is right. Whenever you start cooking, if you're going to bake, you start with butter. And if you're going to cook anything else, start with some bacon.
That's right.
But it was fantastic. I think we hit him all. We hit it off. He gave me his numbers.
I can attest to Missy's meatloaf because she uses Mom's original recipe. And, of course, the thing about
what is that recipe? I mean, let's give our viewer, do you know that off the top of your head?
What is it?
I mean, what's the recipe for the meatloaf? Have you ever cooked that, or is that
just probably in one of her cookbooks?
That was a woman's thing there. Miss Kay honed it down through the years. You know, you take it, the first batch she cooked, you know, you throw that to the dogs and see if they'll eat it. If they'll eat it, you say, well, we're getting somewhere. But you have to be, you know, aware of what's being cooked.
So as time has passed, you've become more kind and gentler.
It's a kinder and gentler feel.
I like it.
I'm looking at now one of the medications she's taking, you know. I don't take pharmaceuticals, but she does.
Well, we've digressed into this.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, boy, the volume of these pills.
Yeah. Well, what's that got to do with the meatloaf?
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, get in there around the meatloaf with this kind of... You're saying
that may affect the recipe.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Well, that was the point.
Years and pharmaceuticals, you add them two up, you say, watch the meatloaf.
Okay. I was going to make that point a little more delicately, Dad's right, because Missy nails it every time because she does it the way Mom used to do it. But with these days with Mom, it's hit or miss. I mean, she may leave out a key ingredient or something out of, you know, one of her.
Well, there's
dishes.
Something. I mean, it's one of the great, most people.
Jersey Joe, the guy that moved down here from New Jersey and brought his family with him, and they all obeyed the gospel, but he's a full-blooded Italian, so is his wife, and they brought that. But they make the best meatballs today out of all this. Mm.
I mean, you don't have the recipe?
No, I don't have. He won't give it. He won't give you the recipe.
Well, wait a minute here.
Just secret.
If you're going to move New Jersey into the world of great cuisine, and you have something that's actually good, I think that would be part of
they
the
They were downtown New Jersey, but they moved here and they love it. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dad, did you know his son is dating my granddaughter? Did you know
that? Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
Joey,
I think there should be a rule. If you come from out of state to obey the Lord and you know, you confess your sins along the way and you have something to offer, you should also confess your recipes if you had something that would add.
He smiled at me. I said, how did you get this tasting like this?
Yeah.
And he was looking at me and he smiled. I said, he's not going to tell anybody.
This is what Acts 2 is about. You share. Yeah. You know, you share in common. That's all your recipes.
But I mean, they are delicious now. Yeah. They are really good.
Yeah. Well, Al, I appreciate you bringing it up. I think it went good. The show's doing good from what I understand. And we have a an announcement. If you want to come see the team. So the team now is known as Murray, myself, and Jelp. We don't consider Si a part of the team because he's not a team player. He's the voice. He's the Bosley of the Charlie's Angels.
That's right.
The metal detector.
The Bosley. You don't really see him. You kind of hear him.
Since he was my brother, and he, I had him labeled as, you know, mentally confused.
But, yeah, that was being generous.
But the powers that be called me off on the side, and they said, no, your brother, he's not confused at all. You know what you call that in Hollywood and up here? And, you know, I said, what's that? He said, talent.
Talent.
I said, talent. He said, he's talented. You'll stop before you act like a fool, but
well,
he won't.
Yeah, when I was on his podcast, I did think he's pretty talented. Because he never stopped for 45 minutes about everything under the sun. Wow. So we're going to be, the team is going to be on Saturday, August 6th, I guess this year. What's this year?
2022.
Because these people may be going back listening to this, so I don't want them to show up a year from now. we're going to be at the Bass Pro Shop in Grapevine, Texas, if you want to come see us.
Cool.
So... public service.
I bet some of our listeners will be there for sure. Because every time I speak around the country, they show up in full force. So
it's in the Dallas area. I mean, don't make a special trip if you're not, you know, out of state. I mean, let's not be crazy here. But we're going to be there from 11 to 1. So,
check y'all like signing autographs or speaking? Or
I don't know what we're doing now.
Okay.
I have no idea. I don't want to know, but because that makes it more fun, spontaneous.
Yeah.
I may get up and speak. We'll sign a few autographs, meet some people.
So I know a lot of our audience is, they cross over and watch our live stream, and I highly recommend that you watch Larry's sermon from yesterday. He preached at Whites Ferry Road and did a great job. He's in 2 Corinthians 11. And, of course, I had set him up before because
once you get all to 10. Because of the setup,
Yeah, it was fun. And then Mike gets to bring it home this week. But it was really good, so I encourage people to do that. Now, I'm probably going to regret asking this, but I'm going to do it. I guess we can always edit. But, Dad, I get a text yesterday. So I'm totally in our live stream, and I'm loving the worship, and Larry's sermon was great. And so I'm just all in it. Then I get a text from one of Dad's parishioners where he was speaking yesterday, and here's what the text said. Guess how many times that your dad said the word orgasm in his sermon this morning?
Again,
so, I didn't know how to respond.
I was simply bringing up in our culture, they bow to that, and I mean any way that there is. In other words, the Bible is very explicit saying sex is permissible between a man and a woman who are married.
That's it.
And there's a difference between a male and a female.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We've taken that, and because the orgasm, you don't need pharmaceuticals or anything, it's there for the taking. I have never seen a country bow down to that act. Yes, it's good, but it would be much better and way more healthy for people to marry someone of the opposite sex and keep their orgasm contained between the two of them, man and woman. Mm. That was my point, because they worship
that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a good point. It's a little
blunt, but I mean, you know, today's culture, when we have grown men saying they're women and vice versa women, and you're like, what? And they can't control. There's no sexual control. It's out of control.
Yeah.
I just thought it was
a sad thing to watch.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. So, guys, one of the things I think all of us have in common is that as we get older, we're getting what they call the dad bods. And I think we can all relate to that. I guess Jace is still the skinniest of our group. I don't know, though. Dad's starting to catch up with him. But one thing we can all agree on is the older we get, the less energy we seem to have. And, you know, workouts become very difficult. And so this happens, you know, it happens because we're getting older. So if we want more energy, which we do, to counter the negative physical effects of aging, a great product that's now a sponsor of our podcast is called Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen. I mean, that's a mouthful. It'll help you turn back the clock. It re-energizes your workouts. It gets you better results at the gym, and it helps you look and feel like the man you really want to be. And so we want to be able to do that. We're talking a lot about the spiritual man, but the physical man needs some love as well. Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients. It's been validated in 5 clinical studies, and it's shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. So you want to check this out. It's the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. It helps re-energize your life and get you back being the warrior that you want to be. To get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text UNASHAMED to 231-231. Text now, get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text UNASHAMED to 231-231. That's UNASHAMED. Text to 231-231.
But you're right, on the congregation, they were quiet.
I wonder why. You had their full attention. Shocked and all.
I've never heard that question asked about a sermon before. I just thought that was interesting. So I'm glad you let us know, Dad. I'm sure it was.
I'm just saying our culture needs to rein that in.
Yeah.
I agree.
Whether they will or not, you know.
I mean, everybody's talking about that stuff all the time, but they never relate it to their relationship in the sovereignty of God and where sex originated. He invented it.
Yeah, it was his idea.
That's what I was trying to get across.
Exactly.
Well, there's a lot of people feel uncomfortable when you start talking about that, but it was God's idea, and I think, and he kind of laid out the best case scenario. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's okay to talk about it. I mean, if you don't, well, the information's coming out there, especially young people.
It becomes idolatry within some groups because there's no rules to the way they're behaving.
Right,
and it's a sad thing to watch.
Well, we don't understand, I think, what sexuality is for, and the bond that it creates when the two become one flesh. And there's just so much spiritually and theologically going on in that. And I think that our society talks more about sex and enjoys it less than any society in the world.
That was my point for the lesson. That was my point there.
But Larry, yesterday you made a brilliant point, I thought, in your sermon when you talked about, and since we're talking about this context of sexuality, I think we know the evil one is behind this whole push towards all this, everything that's going on. I mean, this is evil incarnate. So, but you made a point about that deception, the difference between deception and lying. Make that point to Dad, because I thought that was really, really good.
In the idea that a lie is really just 100% false. And I think I used the analogy that, let's say you're traveling. You may want to do this when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. And somebody you meet that doesn't know you and you want to impress them, you just say, well, you know, what do you do? Well, right now I'm the lieutenant governor of Wyoming. And nobody knows who and in a pre-Google environment, you could actually get away with that. And they're like, wow, I just met the lieutenant governor of Wyoming. That's 100%. False. That's why how a lie works. Yeah. Deception is not like that. Deceptions are built 100% of true things, true elements. So not everything that is true is the truth. And so you have to filter you talked about that in chapter 10. In verse 31, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Yeah. We bring everything under the authenticity of Scripture and the Word of God. And so how did Satan try to deceive Jesus in the wilderness? What did he do?
Scripture.
Scripture.
Every time. He's using Jesus' own words, 100% of it true. But devoid of context, this is why you always hear me talking about context, 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 the who, what, when, where, and why of Scripture. Mm-hmm. If we don't do good exegesis, exegetical view. It can't mean this because of this, that kind of thing. That's the only controls that we have to interpreting scripture, because devoid of context, I can take any of these truths and I can arrange them in the context of my choosing, and I can make them completely untrue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tell that story when you were a kid, the TV show. Yeah. That's a great illustration.
I used to, not everything that's true is the truth. And so when I was 6 years old, there was a little locally produced children's show every afternoon at 4:30, and it was called the Uncle Zeb Show. And so I'd come home from first grade, and I'd park myself in front of that Zenith black and white TV, and I'm peering into it, and they're talking to me. And I'm thinking that they can see me the way that I can see them on the TV.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because, and part of this was bolstered by the idea, because there's kids on the show, and then they have a thing. And then at the end, Uncle Zeb gets on there and he says, "I see you." He said, "I'd like to say hi to Sarah," and there's Amy and there's Billy. And every kid was just staring at that TV, waiting for Uncle Zeb to see them.
Yeah.
And then one day he said, "I'd like to say hi to Larry." And I was like,
he saw you.
That just happened. He knows my name. That was true. He said my name. I heard it with my own ears, and he was looking me right in the eyes when he said it. Turns out not everything that's true is the truth.
Yeah.
And so be careful what you believe, because your beliefs rule over you. You don't rule your beliefs.
Sounds like the makings of a con man.
It's exactly.
Because they even like the psychic. It's all they figure out how to have a conversation and say things judged on your personality that would seem true. The next thing you know, you're paying them money to figure out what your next move is.
Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, back to that sexual thing, is it's all of evil does one thing. It takes what was intended for good and perverts it and tries to make it something else.
Yep.
And so all of sin is deception. It's a carrot on a stick. It's empty. It's a promise around the corner that never comes to reality.
Yep.
It ends in death.
No, and that's, and that, to Dad's point, that's mm-hmm. exactly what the evil one has done in our culture, is it sort of just continues to descend.
Right.
And so what happens is you take thousands of years of human tradition. I mean, take God out of the equation, just thousands of years of human tradition, and you kick it to the curb and just start saying anybody can marry anybody. You can decide when you're a baby what you are, because, you know, there's no biology. And so these decisions are made, but not only made, but then now being codified into law,
right,
where it's the law of our land to embrace these things.
What's interesting is that horrible, horrible diseases follow that kind of conduct. I looked in the World Book Encyclopedia 2 or 3 days ago. I was looking at this, and that just the HIV, it came in the 80s, you know, it killed 35 million people.
Wow.
HIV, AIDS, 35 million. And there was another 30-something million that had it. About to this day, there's still about 40, 50,000 a year that die of AIDS even now. It's just reckless, you know, that Romans 1, you know, they receive in themselves, you know, the punishment that's due them. So,
you know, sin and punishment are connected. You don't have to punish sin for being sin.
That's right.
It carries its own consequence. You know, that's the wage of sin is death, but
that's the monkey pox.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't have to punish a grain of sand, you know, for getting in your eye. It brings its own irritation. I think of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, you know, and Jesus says, "Let the one without sin cast the first stone." The rocks start hitting the ground, the oldest first. I love that. It's like there's some age and wisdom going on there.
Yep.
But then the woman is asked by Jesus, "Where are your accusers, your condemners?" And he says, "Neither do I condemn you." Why? Because her own lifestyle was condemning her. Yep. Sin and punishment are connected. She was carrying the condemnation of her behavior. And he said, "What? Repent. Go and sin no more."
And sin is also progressive, Larry, because, you know, you made that point about from 2 Corinthians 10 about taking control of every thought. And so I'd made the point the week before, if you don't, if your thoughts aren't captive to you, then they become your captor.
Right.
And it just descends into something that's terrible.
Yeah.
And this thing about it is once you give in to sin and begin to live this way, it's always going to descend into pain, difficulty, separation, relationship. I mean, it's just by its nature. It's not healthy. It's not good. But it's so amazing that, you know, people just have a hard time accepting that and embracing that concept.
And you become a slave to whatever has mastery over you.
The least talked about, I started the sermon that worked into the just whole hog wild over the orgasm, but the least talked about thing on this planet is sin.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard anyone anywhere in the news media say
in
the word sin out?
Yeah. You don't hear it very often out of the pulpit.
Out of the pulpit, so it's not there.
Yeah.
Well, you say, I wonder why they don't talk about sin as deadly as it is. I wonder why they don't bring it up. And I think once the evil one gets control of a group, it's no longer sin. Just look at the change in our country in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
the
quite
speed at which it could happen.
Well, people don't want to hear
hang on, Larry.
The truth.
Let's take another break.
Okay.
So we've been talking some on our podcast about, you know, the sort of end of the world stuff, because we look around and we're thinking, man, things are pretty bad. Is God chastising America? Maybe. I mean, we've got a lot of problems. We got inflation. We got gas prices. We got food shortages, our economy, the global conflict that's going on. So one of the things we want to do is stockpile some emergency food if you haven't done this already. And here's what you do. You go to a website. It's called preparewithphil.com. And you're going to save $150 on a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. That's the name of the company that has this. And they've been sponsors of our podcast for a very long time. It's a great idea. Even with storms and natural disasters and everything else, it's a good idea to have some food around when you need it. This company has over 56,000 4- and 5-star reviews. So obviously, people love it. It's delicious. It's easy to prepare. It's 2,000 calories a day for optimum strength and energy. So go to preparewithphil.com, save $150 on this 3-month emergency food kit. That's preparewithphil.com. Get your food and get some peace of mind. Yeah, go ahead and finish your point.
People don't want to hear the truth. I brought up yesterday Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah 4, he's telling of God's wrath coming down on the calamity that he's going to allow on Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. And then there's these false prophets in chapter 6 and chapter 8 that are saying, oh, no, it's not going to be that bad. And in Isaiah 30, it actually says that, you know, don't tell us the truth. Tell us lies. Tell us good things. And I've heard people say, you know, we don't want to talk about sin. It just doesn't do anybody any good. It's not a positive, motivating, you know, in trying to build up the flesh. Well, whatever I do in the flesh to try to fix the flesh only strengthens the flesh. And so let's say that I am a public speaker and I have this issue with my right arm. And occasionally when I'm trying to talk to people, it'll just fly up and hit me in the head. And I'm like, well, that's inconvenient and embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I'm talking and I'm trying to communicate and slap. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to fix this. So I'm going to go get some dumbbells and I'm going to begin to build my arm up so that when it twitches, I'll be able to have the strength to hold it down. Well, Kathy comes home one day and I'm laid out in the middle of the living room floor. You know, and she's like, what happened with the side of my head bashed in? I'm like, I twitched. What used to bother me and annoy me now has the strength to kill me. And so
I thought that's headed toward you hitting yourself in the face with a dumbbell.
No. It's just whatever I try to do to fix the flesh and the power of the flesh only strengthens the flesh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which would be a dumbbell thing to do.
Exactly.
To hit yourself.
Exactly. But that's exactly what all religion does. It tries to fix the problems with the flesh in the power of the flesh.
Yep.
I'm laughing because I've been battling these moths for, I guess, going on 2 weeks now. So Missy was out of
town.
You're
still battling the moths?
Oh, I've killed them by the thousands. And so they're called pantry moths. You know, I've tried everything known to man. But every time you turn the lights out, close the door, give it 5 minutes, open it, you'll kill 2 to 5.
Well, you need a professional.
Yeah. They don't know how to kill a moth. They don't know. They're just like, we don't know. I've already had the consultation, but I was telling you last night, I was rolling around on the floor and Missy came and she was like, what is wrong with you? Because I was watching TV and one of those moths descended. I just looked up and it was just fluttering toward my face while I was on the couch.
They'll eat holes in your clothing, dude.
I went to slap him, and I poked myself in the eye during the slap.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so weird. You're bringing up the right hand involuntarily.
It's kind of
I stabbed myself here about a week ago.
I know.
Kind of like a snake. You know, people are like, that kind of snake won't hurt you. And I'm like, oh, no, it'll sure make you hurt yourself. You know what I mean? So
I poked myself in the eye and killed the moth. I was getting gas this morning, and somebody asked me how you were doing, and I said, oh, he's fine. He's like, well, I mean, he stabbed himself. I mean, I was like, oh, is that out now? I forgot we talked about that.
I just jammed my heel against an open pocket knife in my chair. I just did my leg like that, and the back of the knife caught, and the thing was open. I just cleaned my fingernails, whatever. I just had the knife lying beside me, and I moved my leg, and there's the result.
Oh, my goodness. We have a demonstration, right?
Look at that. See where that knife is.
Yeah,
showing it again.
No, I don't. I think that's the first time he's actually shown it.
The pain is gone.
Healing is
the pain is gone.
Yeah, the pain is gone. Hot, salty water. I know no one can use it anymore, but, I mean, you can just put your foot over in there and let it soak, and you'll be amazed at how medicinal that is.
Yeah.
It's just a pot of water, hot, salty water.
But, Jason, too, you're – until your little tale, I didn't realize that moths were so aggressive.
I didn't either.
You're telling a tale. They're after you. They're attacking.
They don't
flutter.
Attack, but I think he just, you know, my beard looks like a great place to hide. And it's actually, there's a lot. I mean, and now we have this little baby who's getting older and stronger. And it's a great thing to pull.
Oh, yeah.
Also, so now every time I have me pulls, or it's a place to hide. So
these moths, all I can think in my mind right now is kind of like a Hitchcock movie, like the birds. You know, you open the door and they just fly in, and they're just attacking.
Well, it started off when I opened the pantry. They just I moved a can of grits, and they just come falling out by the hundreds.
By the way, there was a larva.
That look like maggots all over.
Goodness.
It looks like maggots.
Oh, man.
So I start throwing the stuff away.
Yeah.
I cleaned it all. I killed them all. I thought, well, that's it. A week later, I'm still killing them. But now they're just appearing out of nowhere. Wow. So I think there's a secondary layer.
You may be onto something, because the day before yesterday, Miss Kay keeps her rice in about a bit large jar.
So yeah.
You know, I'm talking, you know, 10, 12, 15 pounds of rice. But I would dipped over in there, measuring it out, and I look, and the artist was there beside me. He said, wait a minute. He said, that rice looks like it's moving. So we got to look at it very carefully, and they were very small, but there were thousands of them inside.
And the rice, that's it.
Oh, my
goodness. You got the same problem.
It's the same problem.
So everything comes
in. I screwed the lid down, went outside, dumped it all, built me a little fire.
This is just beginning.
It's the end for the millions of things that were down in that rice. I thought, you know, we may be just destroying good protein here. I said, we probably wouldn't hurt it.
I don't think it'll kill you.
Yeah.
But
there's a buildup on the bottom of the jar, kind of like a dust. Yeah. And I think that was just
well. According to my research, it came when you bought it from the store. The little eggs were there, and then they multiplied.
I wondered about that. I said, I wonder if this was in the bag when we bought this in the store. And I was leaning toward. I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
You know, they're having all these problems. You know, but I don't know whether rice. You know, they sit out there on these boats. You know, just stacked up full of any kind of microbe, whatever, get going up in there.
Well, what I recommend is when you go back to the pantry, you throw away anything that was exposed, any kind of macaroni, rice, but anything. The list of things breed in.
Miss K is going to hold it in a smaller container. We eat a lot of rice, but I think she's going to put it in a smaller jar so you don't stay so long. Because if you fill the jar back up with all that down on the bottom, you're not circulating it. So I think maybe a smaller holding.
Yeah. Bowl. Well, I think so, your nightmare is just starting.
If you're taking that. If you're taking notes at home, if your rice is moving, you set it on fire.
That's exactly what was happening. The rice was just pulsating, and I thought, what in the world?
Yeah, hey, in some countries, they just call that protein. You know,
some restaurants, they just give it everything a good shot, a raid before they bring it out so nothing on the plate moves.
Well, you're going to boil your rice, and it kills fat, but I'd just rather not eat small bugs.
Yeah, so, I mean, Missy is living in this house with you?
She was out of town a week, and I told her about it.
Yeah.
Jay's, hang on. Let's take a break. Hey, guys. I don't know when it's the last time you've checked on our merchandise for Unashamed, but you might want to check it out. UnashamedMerch.com is where you go. Use the code UNASHAMED10, and you're going to get 10% off. If you're a Blaze TV subscriber, you're going to get 20% off when you use the code BlazeSub. Is how you do that to save 20% off. There's some cool stuff on there. Love Always Protects t-shirts, as well as Dad's mug on a mug, as well as a sweatshirt. I think you'll enjoy it. Check it out if you hadn't looked at it in a while, and get some Unashamed merch.
So when she came back, I mean, she heard me in there hitting. I killed 2 or 3 in the pantry, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm killing these moths. I've been killing them for a week."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh." Her first response was, "I don't want to hear about it."
Yeah.
But then when I was in there writhing in pain because I poked myself in the eye, well, then she's like, "I mean, I think we need to call a professional." And I am the professional.
This is my whole point. They're not attacking her. It's just you.
Well, this one
I'm thinking it's a personal vendetta.
I don't think it was an attack because the moth. This is not a. It looks like a little furry friend, a little winged fur. Yes. It's real light and dainty.
Yeah.
But if you get enough of them in your pantry, and it becomes a problem. But I do think it was just gonna hide in my beer, which is
something in your pantry. They're heavy and they're somewhere like rice with. We had lids on this jar. We have a lid screwed down.
Everything that was open has been thrown away. I think what happens is once they start the breeding process, then they find a hole in the wall or a crack somewhere. They lay the egg, and now they're coming from there. Everything that you can see, it's gone.
Yep.
And I've cleaned it. But they just keep coming.
Yep.
So I don't know what to do. So maybe somebody out there in podcast land. So I'm not sure what this has to do with sin, judgment, consequences,
and moths.
I was gonna say earlier.
Well, it all came
when we talk.
It all came from Larry's illustration.
I was gonna say earlier. I thought about that Ephesians 5 where it said, you know, it was talking about deceit. But when he said, you know, he says, be imitators, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Because it hit me, we're in Hebrews 8 and 9, that one of the things we haven't mentioned on why Jesus is superior, why he was the superior priest, is that he is our priest and our sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these other priests were, you know, they were sacrificing bulls and goats. But Jesus, he's our priest, he's our bridge and our sacrifice, right. Which is a, you know, you could just sit around and think about that for hours. I mean, how powerful is that?
Chase, remember this. This is a admonition for you to.
All right, well, I ain't even got to my point yet.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Mm. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, check this out, Jason.
Where's that at?
Surely, this is Psalm 91. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence.
There it is.
He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence.
Is this about the moss?
This is about the moss. Pestilence comes from strange things.
Yeah.
Little bitty bug, and you say, oh, well, that was a, but you'll look up and you'll say, what?
Here they come in hordes. It's like a Hitchcock movie. It's
the
right
pestilence
back to the birds,
stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday.
Yeah.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So,
but it is near me. So where's the good news?
Pestilence comes from strange things.
I thought you were trying to encourage me, but I'm not real sure you are.
I'm saying
I think he's saying you need to
repent. You're unencouraged at this point.
Yeah. Okay. I'm saying make sure you're right with the Lord and with your faith in the resurrection, because pestilence could come.
We'll give you some Pauline encouragement. Fight the good fight, brother. Don't.
I kind of like the.
Those little bugs you've been after, they're agents of the evil one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, we're off the rails here.
Dad has steered in. Dad has steered into being one of Job's friends on Jason's pestilence.
Yeah, now I agree with that.
Here come the brethren.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? So what I was going to say back to the original point, since we're so off the rails here.
Oh, man.
But when he says,
we are off the rails.
But verse 3, it says, but among you, I've been going back to your point you made about deceit. There must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. But it seems like he's making a point here not to say the obvious things, but it's like the things that we deceive, we rationalize, because he said even a hint or of any kind of impurity, because then he says nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are all things that we kind of ride the line on,
right,
you know, and justify in our mind. But then it says, but rather thanksgiving, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person. Then he says this, such a man is an idolater. Mm-hmm. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ of God and of God. Let no one deceive you. This was the point I was trying to get to, with empty words, which it made me think about when you said about the deceit and the best lies, the one with the most truth in it. There's words you can say that are empty. When you kind of think about what that means, it sounds good.
Yeah,
but it has nothing sustaining in it.
It's like Matthew 12, you know, that on the day of judgment, we're going to have to give an account of every empty, careless word that we've ever spoken. Mm-hmm. I mean, by our words, we will be condemned, and by our words, we will be acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
And our words have power. They carry meaning and thoughts and all of that sort of thing.
Well, you brought that up yesterday, that verse that says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord.
Yeah, it's just Matthew 7.
He says, I never knew you.
Yeah, which, it's the scariest verse in the whole New Testament.
Mm-hmm. But it does, it does get to the point that, you know, back to, you know, where we're at in Hebrews, I thought about that when you told about the woman caught in adultery,
mm-hmm.
and why Jesus, you know, is better and offers a better way. When he says in verse 14 of chapter 9 of Hebrews, he says, how much more then will the blood of Christ and through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God?
Right.
And he's already made reference in chapter 2 and chapter 4 that, you know, he was a sinless sacrifice and a sinless priest. You know, he didn't have to offer sacrifices for his sins because he didn't have any.
Right.
He offered himself unblemished to God. And here's what I love this phrase, because all of a sudden in this, he's giving you this picture of the shadow
right.
from the law and the rituals mm-hmm. to who Jesus is and why he's better. Then all of a sudden it gets real personal here. It says it cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death
right.
so that we may serve the living God. I mean, somewhere in this picture, all of a sudden you see Jesus on a cross as a priest and a sacrifice, cleansing our consciences
right.
from these acts that we've all done,
right.
these sins that we talk about and justify and rationalize and, you know, spin a yarn on to make ourselves feel better or however, you know, we respond to that. So I just thought that was a
yeah.
powerful thing. Then he goes on to say, for this reason, Christ is...
Hang on, Jase. Let's take our last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So then he goes on to say, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that he has died as a ransom
right.
to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant.
Right. You know, this word consciences, it cleanses our consciences, is an interesting, and as soon as you said it, I thought this is a really neat thing because our relationship, this is how we change our relationship with God. And so, you know, here comes Jesus. He takes on flesh and offers himself, his own blood, mm-hmm. his own sacrifice. And God reconciles to himself all things in heaven and earth through the blood of his son shed on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that that cleanses our consciousness, when we come to Christ and we accept that free gift of forgiveness and salvation in him, our consciences are changed because we are no longer enemies of God. Mm-hmm. Christ died for us while we were still yet enemies of God. And that was our status before. Mm. And this is, I think, a big point that Paul makes is that we have now been adopted as sons and as daughters. Mm. And by his spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. And the cool word, Abba, is an Aramaic word. And it was actually left untranslated. The word father is not there in the original text. They added to kind of explain what Abba was. But it's not really a title that was used a lot. It's, I mean, it was used a lot, but it's not formal. It literally means daddy.
Mm.
And so if you and I were brothers, which we are, but in the spiritual sense, but we were adopted. I was adopted and you were a natural son. Back in that culture, if I was a bondservant, to the family or whatever, I could play with you. You and me, your little boys were playing on the floor, but I could never call him daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But if he adopted me and brought me into he changed my relationship with him. Now he has been given, I've been given the ability to call him daddy, just the way you call your daddy became my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is by this blood, by this reconciliation that we have a clear conscience because of the blood of Christ, that I am set free from the power that sin had over me. It's like we're talking about a while ago. I've got this thing that has become the master of me. I'm no longer a master to sin. Sin no longer has mastery over me. And so here's Jesus, and he, you know, comes up out of this grave and he says, behold, here I am. I've got the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. And he has overcome and defeated death.
Well, it's like when I read that in Ephesians, I think the reason people get into idolatry is so that, based on what I read in Ephesians 5, is that it's a good excuse for whatever sin you want to commit. When you think about, you're then rationalizing why you do what you do.
Right.
I mean, if God is real and living and active and he knows my heart, well, in that relationship, you're honest about your heart and your sin. And
right.
But if you're just, if you have some version of God where you can have a hint of sexual immorality justified, or you can justify the deceit, you know, in your life, that I think that's why I use that as a, you know, as an example. It says such a man is an idolater,
right?
Because you've actually changed the heart and character of God.
Right.
That's why I think it's an important point here in Hebrews 9 when he said, who through the eternal spirit, you know, the personality, the character, however you want to deem that, offered himself unblemished to God. So, because you think about the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So when you think about that passage in Galatians 5, by contrast, you know, he says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious.
Right.
And he lists, number one on the list to Phil's point is sexual immorality. And it's usually first because I just think it gets the most, you know, the most publicity.
Well, it does, absolutely.
But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and it's all these character, love, all the good stuff, love, joy, peace, patience. So somewhere in that process, by Jesus's death, you know, there's an honesty, a sincerity, an openness about what we've done, a reality instead of trying to cover it up or deceive or deceit or lie, that, you know, here's our Father who's saying, I love you this much.
Right.
I'm going to not only forgive you, but I'm going to cleanse your conscience.
Right.
You don't even have to feel bad about it. We're going to move forward here.
And all we got to do is come clean with that.
Yeah, exactly.
As we confess our sins one to another, he is faithful to forgive us. And this goes back to deception. There's no greater deception than deceiving yourself.
All right.
You know, and so that's how most of us walk around, and that's where judgment begins, is like, well, that guy. And so you go back to Jesus saying, you know, you don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. You got this going on, this plank. I can't see this plank in my own eye because I'm deceived in myself. And so when I'm deceiving myself, when I'm prideful and arrogant in my own abilities, I become completely blind and completely deaf.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
Yeah.
And so if we are confessing our sins, if we're coming clean, that leaves us in that conscious, free arena. And as soon as we start deceiving ourselves, we move back out of that and start living in the power of the flesh.
Yeah, and you're acknowledging that God is, you're not going to trick God. You know, somehow or another we deceive and think, oh, you know, if I confess my sins to a priest, you know, an earthly priest or whatever, and then I can go out and do whatever, and it's like God no longer sees me. I mean, then you're just deceiving yourself. I mean, you're acknowledging that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, he's living and active. You know, he mentioned that in chapter 4 and 12. There's nothing that is hidden in God's sight. You're just acknowledging that fact. But the fact that he's forgiven you should make us, you know, more appreciative instead of trying to hide.
Exactly. I think of the garden
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time.
Go ahead.
We gotta continue this discussion. We were all over the map, but
you caused all that.
If you want to,
I think I could pinpoint the exact time when this went a different direction. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BlazeTV.com/unashamed is where we'll be. We're going to do some overtime and flesh this out a little bit more, as well as get Larry's take in overtime, as well as the next podcast about Hebrews. So we'll see you in the overtime.